Welcome to Module 5. These are the racing breeds, rules and regulations for the thoroughbred. You will find that your notes sections for the breed areas follow the same basic organization. This is for ease of being able to compare and contrast between the different breeds. There is a lot of information available to you on these breeds' websites, and those have been provided for you. There's also quite a bit for you to look at in your in the sections that you can download. The registry for the thoroughbred in North America is the Jockey Club, based in Lexington, Kentucky. And this breed registry, if you remember from our earlier modules, was created in 1894. That's when we officially said, this is a thoroughbred. This is not just a horse that's good at racing at long distances. What kind of a registry is this? Open or closed? This is a closed registry. It means that only thoroughbreds that can trace back at least 8 generations, and now it's many, many more, are eligible to be registered. The registration certificates are also called foal papers, and you'll hear it go back and forth. One thing that's unique about this breed is that once the foal papers are produced, they do not go back to the Jockey Club to be updated as far as ownership. If the thoroughbred is currently competing at a racetrack, those registration certificates or foal papers must be with the horse and be up to date at the racetrack. That way everyone knows who owns those horses. Once a thoroughbred is no longer at a racetrack, it would be impossible to trace the ownership of these horses. We'll talk about that in later modules. It really is an issue that needs to be addressed when we start comparing it with the American Quarter Horse Association. Parentage verification. How do you know that the foal that they said is by Secretariat and out of a very fancy mare is? That's an example. I do realize Secretariat is no longer with us, but fantastic prices were paid for horses with just one's word that the sire was indeed the sire. Until 1977, you just had to take the person's word. In 1977 through 87, thoroughbreds were parentage verified with blood typing. Now, although there are more types of equine blood than there are human types of blood, we still could not prove parentage, but certainly could disprove it. So there would be a potential that even the blood typing would not pick up a mistake. It was very accurate. But as of the 2001 foal crop, all thoroughbreds must be parentage verified using DNA, and that is by far the most accurate. The level of error is basically nil in DNA blood typing. So when you know, when you get the papers back that says the sire was DNA typed, the mare was DNA typed, and your foal is a match, you know that the parentage is correct. What about all of the new breeding technologies? Artificial insemination, also known as AI, is not allowed in the thoroughbred business, nor is shipped semen, nor is embryo transfer. We will talk a little bit more about those technologies when we get to a breed that allows them. The thoroughbred breed is very traditional in what they allow as far as production techniques of their animals. The race, the paddock or the warm-up. In the paddock, the horses are ID'd using their markings and a tattoo. If you recall, All horses that race must be verified by a tattoo. And they are in the paddock only 15 minutes or so. They come from their barn, they go to the paddock, they are identified, they are saddled, and they go to the racetrack. The start of the thoroughbred. Is it a moving or a standing start? Many people's first reaction is, of course it's a standing start. They start from a starting gate. But in reality, timing does not start from the horse's standstill. The gate of the thoroughbred races is set a little behind the actual mark. For example, if the race is a mile long, the starting gate is not set precisely at the mile mark. It will be set behind it. How far behind it? Well, that depends on the racetrack. The rule of thumb is 2 to 3 jumps out of the gate is how much the thoroughbred gets before the electric eye timer beam is broken. So in effect, when thoroughbreds are timed, it is from a moving start. You may notice that there is a flagman out there and will drop a flag in case of electronic equipment failure. There will be someone with a stopwatch who will start the watch as the flag drops, and the flagman drops that flag as the horses cross that line. Timing. How is timing of the thoroughbred kept? It is kept in minutes and fractions of a second. The traditional fraction of a second is to the 1/5. You'll see in some of the past performances presented in this section that if a time is 1:23:02, that means it was 2/5 of a second, not 2/10 of a second. Although there was a move to go to 1/100 of a second, the traditional 1/5 is still prevalent. How fast can thoroughbreds run? Well, a decent thoroughbred will go a mile in about 1.5 minutes, which is approximately 37 miles per hour. There's a handout and a printout from the Thoroughbred Owners of California magazine called Time, It's All Relative. It's a very interesting discussion of thoroughbred timing. Distances. How are they measured? Generally in either furlongs or parts of a mile. How long is a furlong? Well, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. That's why when you see races written, you'll see 6 furlongs, 7 furlongs, but you don't see an 8-furlong race. An 8-furlong race is 1 mile. Sometimes on turf courses, there will be distances that are approximate. That is because the inside rail on a turf course is movable, and depending on where it is, the actual race that day may be a little longer or a little shorter. In this country, all horses race counterclockwise. Common distances. There are common distances or traditional distances, but they are not set in stone. Given the configuration of the racetrack and the circumference of the track, some tracks are only 1/2 mile. Others, like Belmont Pile Park, are 1.5 miles around. There are some restrictions of where races can start, so some racetracks may not be able to offer a 7-furlong race just because of the way it sets up. Races can go from a couple of furlongs. Young horses sometimes do the 2-furlong races to 2 miles. More likely, you will see races carted from 5.5 furlongs to 1.8 miles. The average for a year in North America is just under 1 mile. Even our thoroughbreds have become more sprinters than distance experts. Since track ovals are so different, we will cover those in detail when we go to the track surfaces section. There are, in talking about the different distances, earlier on we talked about weight. and horses that are sprinters and horses that are distance horses. There is a rule of thumb to make one length difference in horse A or horse B if a race is less than 6 furlongs. You'd need to have that horse carry 3 pounds to make that difference. If it was 6 to 7 furlongs, 2.5. 8 to 9, 2. And I'm not counting, I'm not changing furlongs into miles here, so we don't change from apples to oranges. 8.5 to 10.5 furlongs, 1.75 pounds. 11 to 12 furlongs, 1.5 pounds. And at 13 furlongs or up, only 1 pound of difference could make a one length difference in the end of the race. So the distance of the race does, and the weight the horse carries does make a difference. Race calls. How in thoroughbreds, when you hear the announcer say the horses are at the 8th pole, or the 3/16th pole, or the quarter pole, what they're talking about is how close the horse is to the end of the race. So if the horse is at the 8th pole, it means there's an 1/8 of a mile to go before the end. It does not mean that so far they have raced 1/8 of a mile. This is different in harness racing, so make sure you get this straight. Thoroughbreds, it's how far they are from the finish line. Dirt or turf. Both are raced here with thoroughbreds, although there is certainly more dirt racing than turf racing. And we don't have nearly as much turf racing as there is in other countries. We'll go into the reasons for that when we talk about track surfaces. Generally, if a track has a turf course, there may be 1 or 2 turf races a day as compared to the 8 or 9 on the dirt surface. The classic distance for the thoroughbred is 1.25 miles. That is the distance also of the Kentucky Derby. Other specifics. How often do thoroughbreds race? Well, generally, they'll race every couple of weeks, every 2 or 3 weeks, to every 6 to 8 weeks apart. Generally, your top stake horses run much less than your everyday middle-of-the-road allowance horses. Good, hard-knocking, solid allowance horses may run every 3 weeks or so. What about the rail? Generally, there is an inside rail fit with the thoroughbreds. There are some safety rails available, although you will see some that are just post and rail on the inside. Some turf courses actually use hedges as their inside rail. The Triple Crown for thoroughbred racing. Very familiar to most people. The Kentucky Derby, the distance at 1.25 miles. The Preakness Stakes, the distance at 1.3 miles, and the Belmont Stakes, contested at 1.5 miles. The idea of a Triple Crown series came from England, as did the Derby idea, and their Triple Crown was the St. Ledger, the Derby Stakes, and the 2000 Guineas. So there was an idea about that, an idea that you would link races to make it have special meaning. In the U.S., the racing columnist Charles Hatton started referring to U.S. stake races in the spring as the Triple Crown as a shortcut. Instead of talking about the major races, which were the Preakness, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, he started talking about them as the Triple Crown. Well, this idea caught on, and the TRA, Thoroughbred Racing Association, formally proclaimed the three the Triple Crown in 1950. And each of the next 7 years, because there was no winner in those years of the Triple Crown, they retroactively awarded the award of a Triple Crown winner to the 7 horses who had won it prior to 1950. All three races have been in existence simultaneously since 1875, and only 11 horses have won the Triple Crown, making it quite a goal. Although we've come close in recent years, it's not been accomplished. There were a couple of years that could not have been won because one or more of the races were either not offered or in the very early days they were offered on the same day. The Kentucky Derby is certainly the highlight of the public's perception of thoroughbred racing. The Derby Week economic impact is over $200 million to Louisville, Kentucky, $137 million in direct spending, and the ripple effect of an additional $80 million. In 2001, 153,000 people attended the Derby, and 102,000 the Kentucky Oaks the day before. As you can see, it has become the social occasion of the year in the state of Kentucky. What do the bettors like? I mentioned earlier that sprint racing and speed has become what has been presented on the racetrack. But if you look at the amount of handle, the bettors would prefer to bet on distance races. There's more money bet on a distance race, of equal quality, a distance race, than a sprint race. Although the breeders tend to be producing more horses that are geared towards sprinting. Breeders and buyers want to see speed. Bettors would like to see the classic distances.